This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Craig just said, what's going on? I can't get on my Instagram now.
No, there's no such thing as bad advertising. We were just talking about that NFL story that Mike Conte had about Avery Moss, Giant. I mean, you know, if God has endowed you with certain gifts, I don't think there's any such thing as bad publicity, Carl.
You know, yeah, I'm with you. No, I agree.
I was hacked. You know, I got to be honest. I mean, I'd embrace that if I had that.
You know what?
I'm Irish, so I don't.
I really wish we would have thought about that excuse when your whole thing went down on Twitter.
Really. I was hacked.
Yeah,
no,
we could have played
believe that
up. Of course, people do it all the time. People say it all the time.
I would say, like, I'm Roseanne. I was on Ambien.
Yeah, it could have worked. It could have worked. Now, thinking back, Mike, there were so many different ways we could have gone.
I was arguing with people for 2 hours before I finally went DEFCON 1 and lost my mind.
Oh, yeah, so. You're right. That's right. There were too many screenshots already taken. My bad.
I mean, look, I could have said the truth. Well, yeah, I had a couple of Makers and Ginger and Marlowe's, and I was feeling no pain, but that's a cop-out. You got to own it, man.
Well, no, that part is true, too.
Yeah, but I do some of my best thinking when I've had five or six
that part
Makers
was true.
And Ginger.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to On the Sidelines with the Falcons. On the Sidelines with the Dogs. We're going to talk about the Falcons
coming
up. Yeah,
there's a Falcons story that's going to have you, if you're like me and you're a Falcon fan, pulling your hair out over Julio. We'll explain. But what's up with the Dogs, man?
Well, listen, a guy you know well, and we love David Pollack. We love what David has turned into as a broadcaster, a guy that's worked really hard at his craft, but a lot of people forget how damn good David Pollack was when he was at the University of Georgia.
Yeah, there's only three-time All-Americans. It's Herschel and it's David Pollack for UGA, and that's why it's a no-brainer. And one thing about the College Football Hall of Fame, because he's got, as Chip Towers wrote yesterday, that Dave ought to be a first-ballot Hall of Fame selection. The NFL Hall of Fame, we know how it works. The College Football Hall of Fame, since relocating to Atlanta, has seen a huge resurgence in interest and has so many cool events. And I've hosted events down there. When Randy Cross was here, I was there for his induction. There's so many cool things going on. But no one knows how the voting works. And guys get in that should have gotten in like years ago. Would you agree with me on that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
So a guy like Pollack, who's got the credentials and would have been, a tremendous NFL player and he had not had the neck issue. And basically, you know, if you know, Dave's career was cut short. He was an amazing talent on the defensive line for Georgia. He was a playmaker. It all started with that play in South Carolina. Remember Jill Arrington? What about that play by Pollack?
Well, his name is David Pollack.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, he was a dominant college football player. You know, and this is the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And the thing I love about Pollack, when you talk to him, and we know him obviously on a really good level. Mike was his partner at one point. But he never looks back and reflects on the what could have been. We all think as fans, if the injury doesn't happen, Mike, this guy plays in the league for 12 years and is probably, all right, one of the best in his position, in my opinion. But it didn't play out that way. But Pollack has turned into a great broadcaster. But, guys, I think he's going to get into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Chip Towers brings up some great names like Ray Lewis, Vince Young, Eric Dickerson, Keith Byers. How are these guys not in the College Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
So let's get cracking. Now, again, it's the only thing, I think the only thing the College Football Hall of Fame has got to straighten out is what's up with that process, because, you know, there's entire wings about players who play in the 1890s. That's kind of, you know, a little more contemporization wouldn't hurt.
I agree. We'll see where it goes. Good luck to our buddy David Pollack. Meanwhile, you see the story about Oklahoma losing its starting quarterback, Kyler Murray. Mm. He's a projected starting quarterback. He's the guy that's going to take over for Baker Mayfield, okay? Kid gets drafted last night in the Major League Baseball draft.
Ruh-roh.
Ninth overall. We had the eighth pick. Boom. Ninth pick. All right. Oakland Athletics select Kyler Murray. And you're going, wait a minute. That's the quarterback for Oklahoma. He says he's going to continue to play quarterback. But, Mike, to me, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to play baseball, and I'm going to go get some money, and I'm going to see how long I can stay in Major League Baseball. I think there's a longer, brighter future there for him versus playing quarterback. And I'm not saying he can't play quarterback, but we know that's a difficult journey, man.
Hey, man, there's a lot of guys out there. You go do it. Who was it? Hunter Henry most recently in South Carolina was a baseball player. Chris Winkie. Russell Wilson. I mean, you guys go get paid. And then, you know, Bobby Bowden used to joke, Chris Winkie was the only player he had that had a minivan.
Right.
You know, then you can always come back, you'll have your eligibility, and go play some college football. But get that baseball money first because it's an easier life.
He was on a conference call with the Oakland A's Riders. He says, I will be playing football this season. So he can still sign with the A's and play for the Sooners in 2018. Okay?
Right.
So, but
great athlete's a great athlete.
Yeah. And you know who his agent is? Scott Boras.
Boom.
For Major League Baseball. So, anyways.
I don't know if I was a Sooner fan. That would make me a little nervous.
But, yeah, just an interesting story, man, from Soonerland. The starting guy that's going to take over Baker Mayfield has now been drafted number 9 overall. You had another Georgia story, though, that we needed to get to.
Yeah, and I saw this on Saturday Down South. They were talking to some other coaches, and some were anonymous, some were on record, about how you handle the dual quarterback situation. Well, technically, Georgia is not a dual quarterback. Jake Fromm is the starter, but everyone does realize there's such a tremendous talent with Justin Fields. You've got to get him on the field. I mentioned that Georgia fan who sat behind me when I was coming back from Europe, who is bemoaning the fact we're going to have a controversy. Let's wait till it develops, boys and girls. But you don't do it the right way, one of the coaches was saying. And you risk, obviously, you damage the psyche. Justin Fields has got confidence out the yin-yang. The guy's got a cannon. He can run. He can do it all. But how do you find a way to maximize the talent and not disrupt the apple cart? Keep that balance on the team. Same thing that Saban's going to have to deal with Tagovailoa, obviously, and Jalen Hurts.
It's going to be tough, but it's not going to be tough if you're winning, right? I mean, does it make it tougher if you're winning or not?
I mean, Tim Tebow was a talent, but Chris Leak was the starter for the Florida Gators, and they used Tim Tebow, I thought, pretty remember, that was Dan Mullen was the OC those years for Urban Meyer before he went to Miss State.
Yeah, I just think if you're winning, which I expect the Dogs to be doing, okay, it makes it a lot easier to kind of rotate these guys in and out. If you're losing, Mike, all right, and let's just say – and I don't think this happens, by the way, but let's just say the Dogs get off to a bad start, and all of a sudden now there are question marks, right? And everybody's going, oh, you better put Fields in. When you're losing, it's much more difficult because the fan base runs out of patience
right, a
lot quicker than they do when you're winning. And let's just say Fields comes in, makes a few mistakes. Well, let's throw Jake back in there. But right, you're winning. It doesn't hurt the team, I think, as much. So, to me, I think Kirby's going to do a fine job. More importantly, Jim Chaney, the offensive coordinator, he's seen this. I think they're going to be able to handle it. But, yeah, man, I mean, I don't think that you can go into this season and kind of dismiss this as not a big deal. I don't believe that. I think it is a big deal because you've got to find a way to incorporate both guys.
Liberal extremists will stop at nothing to push their radical agenda.
Now, again, if you don't play the whole thing, guy, Craig, you cannot just play that small snippet because people who we get new listeners every day. You realize there are radio stations in this town that every day one of their listeners dies. Well, we're one of those radio stations where every day a new listener picks up on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
So you might know the bit. You got to play more than that 5 seconds.
Liberal extremists will stop at nothing to push their radical agenda. Now they're turning their attention to Georgia and demanding that you vote for
Jacob
for quarterback in the SEC.
Jacob
is one of them.
Jacob
will vote with Nancy Pelosi for bigger
South Carolina
and a weaker
Florida game.
Don't let them hijack
the University of Georgia, our program, our development, what we can do.
Stop
Jacob
now.
I love Georgia Bulldogs and I
approve this message.
Now, again, and Jacob did shuffle up to Washington. He will not be playing this year. He's got to sit out. But Jacob, Craig got his wish. The anti-Jacob pack got its wish, Carl. And it's Jake, now it's Fromm time. Prom time until yes. Georgia fans turn on Fromm like a rabid dog and want to see Justin Fields out there.
Listen, I hope they can both thrive. I do. I like Fromm. I like what Fromm did for the Dogs, and the kid seems to have, you know, the it factor, the it factor as well. But I think they can both thrive. Hey, man, by the way, as always, we go on the sidelines. It is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. BrightBox Electrical for all your electrical needs, including, guys, surge protection. Make sure your house is protected for thunderstorms and thunder and lightning the way you love me is frightening.
All right, man, we got more to get to, guys, including what about the Hawks thinking about trading out of number 3.
You really are trying to tick me off today with all this stuff you're throwing at me.
Listen, Travis Slink came on the day. And he talked about the fact that there's a chance, and I think you leave all options open. There's a chance that the Hawks may trade out of that number 3 spot. As a Hawks fan, I don't want to see him do that because I don't know if we're going to get number 3 again. You know, I don't want to be in this position the next 3 or 4 years. I'm hoping we get some really good picks in this draft, guys. We got 4. We got 3 in the first round and then the 34th pick. And then let's continue to build next year, Mike, and attract potentially some free agents because we're going to have a lot of money under the cap. But I don't give up the 3rd overall pick.
Well, let's hear the man himself. Let's get Schlenky with it. Here's what Travis had to say.
We're down to 3 or 4 guys, I think, that we're kind of looking at seriously with the 3rd pick. There's going to be options for us to maybe slide back a couple spots. So we're going through the process of trying to evaluate what it would take from a package from another team for us to do that and what the group of pool of players that might be available there to see if any of those scenarios might be attractive to us.
All right, so why do this? Let's examine that for a second. If you're Travis Slink and you're going, all right, at 3, obviously you've got Dontage, you've got some opportunities there to get a guy that you've already, you know, you feel good about. But if you find yourself going, wait a minute, I can add some pieces, some assets, by moving back two or three places, okay? So instead of us picking third, we're picking fifth or sixth. And now I go get that dynamic playmaker at point guard in my mind, okay? Maybe.
Well, here are two things. Let's just say for argument's sake, DeAndre Ayton goes one, Bagley goes two. Now, if Doncic went, if you know, Vlade, because he's from Eastern Europe, went, that's the logic behind that.
Right.
And Sacramento went Doncic, you would take Bagley at three, right? First things first.
Well, I would. But see, I think if you're making this move, you've got a plan in place to say, all right, you know what? We're going to go ahead and gain another pick. And in the process, I'm still going to go get a guy that I want, but I can't take him at three.
Right,
because, that's really what you're saying.
Because Bagley, I know there's redundancy with John Collins and Bagley, but I think there's more upside with Bagley, you know, in the future. But here's the thing about Doncic, and who's on today with Rick and John?
David Griffin, former general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was there when they won the championship against the Warriors a couple of years ago.
And David said that he thought that Doncic was a defensive liability, which is some of the things I heard from my extensive interviews with Italian waiters that follow the EuroLeague, that he would get eaten up alive by those American players. That was the opinion of many of the waiters I talked to.
Yeah, I'm going to let you hear what he told the Midday guys, Rick and John. I thought it was a great interview, but he breaks down not only LeBron and his relationship with his teammates and Tyronn Lue, but he did talk about the fact, a couple of guys, Mo Bamba, kid out of Texas, that is going to be a high draft pick. I think he's got a 7-foot-something wingspan.
Right.
You know, the kid.
Well, you watch a lot of Texas. You think he's going to his game's going to evolve?
Well, that's the thing. And David Griffin said, "Listen, he could be the steal of this draft. He comes in, he'll rebound, he'll play defense for you. His offensive game has got to evolve and get better from Mo Bamba." But then he talked about Doncic and said Doncic's offensive game, it may be NBA ready more than anybody in this draft. But defensively, Mike. And again, did you hear Lloyd Pierce when he came on this show? And we said, Coach, what's your philosophy? What's your team going to be about? And he said, starts with defense.
Right.
He was the defensive guy, the assistant in Philadelphia before getting this job. I just don't buy into, you know, drafting guys that are not going to have that mindset. That's why I love a guy like Colin Sexton that plays both ends, right?
Well, then you would – two things. You're definitely moving on from Schroeder. Not that there was much mystery for many of our fans. They just assumed that Schroeder is going to be out. They're going to try to move him. So if you were going to go get Colin Sexton, he's 5 or 6 tops. You think fans would be cool trading down out of three? Last time we had a three, we had Al Horford. I mean, you don't get – I mean, it just goes counterintuitive to everything you and I argued about all season long about, you know, tanking and getting down.
Getting the best
to the lowest possible pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Bagley. I'd love a way to get Bagley and then package everything we got and trade back and get Colin Sexton. That seems like a pipe dream. Then there's Trae Young. And some people thought they kind of cooled on him because he looked like he got pushed around a little bit in the second half of the season for Oklahoma. And then we didn't get to see him in the tournament.
No,
they got eliminated.
But remember, I mean, the NBA game is built around ball handlers and guys that can create their own shot, Mike. And the rules, you know, look at Steph Curry. I mean, any of you guys ever walked up on Steph? Steph's not the biggest guy in the world. But, you know, the rules allow you to get away with a lot of that stuff. And if the people are touching you or even poking at you, man, they're going to call those fouls. So I'm not buying that with Trae Young. Plus, he's going to mature and get bigger.
Okay.
I just think
he's a biracial angel.
That's what we've heard.
We'll get him a Bowflex.
I just think that Travis Schlink is leaving all options open. I don't know if you like it or not, but he did say that today here on 92.9 The Game that they are thinking about potentially trading out if an opportunity comes their way. But I think they've got plan A, which is where they stay at three. I think plan B is, Mike, we trade out, we gain some assets, and we still get a guy we want. And then, obviously, somebody comes to you with a plan C, a ridiculous deal to get the third overall pick, and you can't refuse it.
It's interesting. Like I said, the Doncic thing, if you everything you read, everything you talk about, it's funny. It's almost like 6-1, half a dozen. Would you agree with me? People either love this guy, or they start picking his game apart. And it's interesting because I think for this town, for this team, you build around defense. You just laid it out. The guy's not exactly playing great defense. Against, by the way, talent, that's not even remotely what he's going to see in the NBA.
It's not.
So what does that tell you?
Your chance to win $1,000. But before we do, here is David Griffin, former general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, talking about Luka Doncic.
You know, Luka's special, special good in terms of being prolific at a young age. To be EuroLeague MVP like he is staggering at that age. I don't think we've had an international player come here more accomplished at a younger age. That's never happened. He's a special passer. The player that I kind of liken him to in terms of pace. Now, when I say this, I don't mean the MVP candidate version, But the player he's like somewhat is James Harden in terms of the pace he plays at. And that also means that he's really not a defensive presence. So it matters for fit for Luka.
It's a problem for me. I mean, I know you're like, Dukes, I don't care. I want a guy that's going to put it in the hoop. I do too. But we got a head coach who came on our show and said, hey, we're going to play defense.
Right.
So I don't know, man. We'll see where it goes. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
cream. C-R-E-A-M. Cream.
It's my favorite magazine when I was a kid. Cream magazine. Remember, it's a rock and roll magazine, guys. Not dirty. C-R-E-A-M. Cream goes to 72881. That's our word for the 4 o'clock hour. You text it. You got a few minutes, so don't be texting and driving. Don't get in trouble. But cream, C-R-E-A-M, goes to 72881, and good luck.
All right, I've been going back and forth with my man Harold. Harold Snow, like Jon Snow. And Harold's like, man, I can't believe y'all getting all this amped up over this Julio stuff. You guys act like we made this stuff up. Yeah. Like Mike and I are sitting here going, hey, you know what? Let's talk about Julio not showing up. Guess what? Julio hadn't shown up.
Now, again, you root for players. You like his style. You like his athleticism. I like guys that do their job. They catch the football and show up on time and honor their contract. And right now, he ain't doing three of those things.
We're going to talk more about it. We're going to take your phone calls, all right? 404-741-0929. We've got some guys that have been holding on, very passionate about what they need to say, and I'm going to give you a chance to say it. If you've not heard the latest from Dan Quinn, we're just questioning, what's the deal? All right, I want you to hear what Dan Quinn said today after OTAs. Mandatory minicamp is next week. It is Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, guys, Yeah Man, No Man at 440 as Bo fills in for AT. There's a great picture on Mike Bell's Twitter of AT in the hospital. He's fine, guys. He's doing well. Just trying to get things situated and squared away so we can get out of there and get back to work at some point. But just, you know, trying to keep you guys updated. And you actually went to go see him today.
Yeah, so Arthur today, and it was funny, he was saying that one of the doctors who's working on him, and he's just waiting on when he's going to have some surgery and he's going to be okay. But one of the doctors is like, your voice sounds very familiar. You have a very distinct sounding voice. And then I was just like, yeah. And he goes, well, I work. And he goes, oh, you're Dukes and Bell. So, yeah, we know they're listening. When I was over there today, the guy working the gate was also a big listener of the show. So, thanks. Cool. But AT is doing well. He just, you know, he's just going stir crazy. He's bored. But the photo was up. I gave him one of those. I gave him a cool hat I got in Monaco, black on black. For
he liked
AT.
It. He liked it.
He's wearing that bad boy. But Arthur, get well soon, big guy. We miss you.
Yeah, man. And sponge bath coming at 5, AT. All right, guys. Listen to Dan Quinn.
Hope it's a girl.
Dan Quinn. Today, and if just going to reset, and then I'm going to take your phone calls, okay? Because I want to hear from you guys. And some of you guys are like, oh, y'all are tripping. Okay, fine. My whole assumption this entire time has been I want our best guys getting the reps, period. That's all I've been about, okay? I don't care about the contract. I don't think they should do it. But that's if the Falcons want to do it, they're going to do it, okay? Mm-hmm. But the one thing I do want is our offense to perform at a higher level. And the only way you do that is to have people present, okay? So for mm-hmm. me, I said, let's get these reps in. All that stuff matters. When you tell me practice doesn't matter, then teams should just cancel practice, right?
Let's not have OTAs. Let's not
let's have any of this, all right? Rhythm and practice matters and all that continuity stuff. So today, Dan Quinn was asked, first of all, about Julio, and then he's followed up with the question about, is Julio going to attend minicamp? Here's the first thing he said about Julio.
No change. I've certainly been in contact with Julio. He's doing great and you know, really fit, really strong. So it's nice to know he's healthy and strong as he's been in a long time. So as a coach, that makes me very happy.
And that's good to hear that Julio is feeling good physically. We've seen pictures. I mean, again, he was at Cam Newton's kickball event last week.
Right.
You know, people think, listen, Julio's fine as far as his physical stature, and I don't think he's overcoming any injuries. He's healthy. That's mm-hmm. great. But then, you know, coach, is Julio going to attend mini camp? This is,
you know,
a yes or no question.
That all the way through, but as far as, you know, my end goes, no change from my end of things that we discussed from earlier this spring.
All right, Craig, I'm sorry. I spoke over that. I said this is a yes or no question. Play it again for him.
You know, we haven't discussed that all the way through, but as far as, you know, my end goes, no change from my end of things that we discussed from earlier this spring.
Mike, why haven't you discussed it?
Hell if I know. You know, I'm not even as crazy as that cryptic answer to a very simple question was. I'm more upset about what Jake Matthews told you, Orlando Ledbetter. We're saying, hey, we're putting some new wrinkles into this offense, and that's something we've been working on. And new wrinkles into an offense which underperformed last year is something I would like to see the wide receiver, star wide receiver of the team, being involved in.
Where's my bell?
That's my beef. But we've had some people hitting up on Twitter. One guy said, here you guys go again. Making a story out of nothing. And let me just so I get it exactly right.
Bo, stop texting us.
From ATL 3042, y'all more concerned about Julio contract than Julio. Not once has Julio said he wants a new contract. Even said he's good and will be a Falcon for life. But yet everyone else keeps saying he wants a new contract. I just hate when local media takes a non-story and makes it a story.
Okay, first of all, we assume the guy sounds that way, which is funny. Well, secondly,
he kind of looks like a little bit like Flo Rida.
Okay. Secondly, I got two phones. The contract thing is not what our concern is. Are you hearing us? Mike says
the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Mike says we are putting in new wrinkles thanks to a comment by Jake Matthews. Where's our guy if you're putting in these new wrinkles? My comment is, let's get the reps, dude. Let's be better.
Right, because last year you had your bunion and you had to recover, so you weren't out there. And then go figure, we didn't see you practicing because we know wear and tear over the course of the year. I don't begrudge anybody that.
All right.
But there was a disconnect in the rhythm, the play in the red zone, all the things we've talked
about. It's all upset.
Why the touchdowns were down, why point score were down, why red zone production was down. So if you're putting new plays and you're putting new variations of plays into the playbook, that's something I would like to see number 11 being a part of. What part of that makes me an alarmist or a guy who's pumping hype into a story? That's just basic stuff. Everybody else in the brotherhood is there. Guys that are even banged up are there, okay? Tax there. Freeze there. What's the holdup, Swole Up?
I thought you were going to go down the list. Dion in Atlanta. Appreciate your patience, man. Talk to us. You're on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Oh, Dukes, I am laying this at your feet. You're dead wrong for this. For getting half of the city of Atlanta riled up. And more importantly, your best buddy, Mike, got his blood pressure all up. Look, here's the deal. The last thing we heard Julio say about a week ago, he said, people trying to drive a wedge is all good. I'm going to be a Falcon for life. That's not something somebody who's going to hold out or who's going to be have an issue is going to say. If anything, he would have just not said anything.
Okay.
So I think that was more or less cold for him saying, I'm going to be at camp, but I'm sitting out now to try to make a point. And Dan Quinn is playing this exactly right. You can't call Julio, who's coming off injury, who's trying to get more money. You don't call him as his coach. And when you coming back? Are you going to be back next week? How you doing? You know, how you feeling? He's checking in with him to keep the lines of communication open, but he's not pressuring him and trying to paint him into a corner about whether he's coming back next week or not.
Why not? Dion, why not? Dion, that's his coach. He needs to know. Hey, man, Dion, I'm your boss. I need to know if you're going to be at work next week.
No, he may even be asking him that, but he knows he can't publicly come out and say that for Julio.
Why?
That's not what you want to do.
Yeah, because but why not?
If he does that, he puts a bullseye on Julio's chest and say, you better be here first day of minicamp, or you know it's going to be a problem.
Okay.
So, now, as a coach, you don't do that to one of your best players.
Dion, I got
to
ask you this. This is a great phone call, Dion, and we appreciate you holding and being a listener of Dukes and Bell. I got to ask you this.
Yes.
What if Dan Quinn said today, yes, fellas, he'll be here? What's the big deal?
Well,
unless he's not going to be there.
No, I don't believe that's the case. I think he understands that I'm going to let Julio come in. But when you care about the player, if he's out because he's trying to get his money right, you don't go out and put it out publicly. Yeah, he's going to be here. Because basically, you're basically saying he better be here or you know the city's going to turn on him.
What's wrong with that?
But here's the other thing.
What's wrong with being there?
Yeah. Everybody else is working on it. So the offense is the only part of this thing that ain't working. The defense did its job. It's getting better and better each year. You've addressed some of the things on offensive line. The team is poised. You're in your window. Got to have all hands on deck. And here's the other thing. Let's stop it right there, my man, about paying Julio. His contract set the market 3 years ago. Okay? Since then, guys got paid. We get it. Sammy Watkins and Bebe, all these guys. Julio still got a lot of money guaranteed. He could have taken a shorter deal. Julio could have taken a shorter contract, bet on himself, but no, because he's had health issues, his agent said, you take this long-term deal. Okay, well, guess what? We're not going to do what Seattle did, and Andy Bunker's talked about this before on his night show because he grew up in Seattle. He covered the Seahawks. You cannot start scrapping the brotherhood, and now, oh, just like with Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, now I got to tweak your contract. Oh, Julio bitch for some money, let me get him some. Well, then what if Vic Beasley gives you 16 sacks and he wants more money? I mean, you cannot keep monkeying around with these contracts. Nobody likes the fact that Matt got this ridiculous deal. That was the market for quarterbacks. Julio is 3 years behind Matt on his contract cycle. I'm sorry, I cannot start doing this because look at how Seattle imploded. Guys got in everybody else's pocket. Then Cam Chancellor wanted a new deal. And next thing you know, the thing blows up and you miss your window.
And they've got a depleted defense. You know, I was talking about this, Mike, and we'll get more into it at the 5 o'clock hour. And Dion, real talk, man, appreciate you dialing us up, expressing yourself. Every team has an issue. You know what Seattle's defense issue is? Their depleted defense. The Bills, is it Josh Allen or A.J. McCarron? The Cardinals need to find out if Josh Rosen can play. The Saints, no Mark Ingram for the first four games. I could go on and on. Everybody's got issues they're dealing with. Is Cam and North Turner going to work? I mean, for us, it's simple. It's Sark and this offense. And if we're adding wrinkles and we're trying to be better, then I just need everybody there. That's it. And I disagree with Dion in the sense that if I'm the head coach and my guy says, yeah, coach, I'll be there. What is the big deal about saying I talk to him and he's going to be there unless he's not? That's my issue. Daniel, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. Daniel, what's on your mind?
Well, I think one of the things that we haven't talked about, you know, Julio did deal with a lot of injuries the last couple of years. I think giving him some extra time isn't a big deal. I agree with Dion that we shouldn't pressure a guy like Julio, who's done everything we've asked. He's been there every day. He hasn't said a damn word. You know, I mean, he's a quiet guy. And, I mean, I just don't think that we should hang him out to dry yet. I think if he doesn't show up to minicamp, then okay, yeah, now we have a serious problem on our hands. But as for now, I think, you know, we got new guys just coming in. We got to see if our draft picks are going to pan out. We've got a lot of young guys that we need to get into the system. So I think that's what we should be focusing on.
Okay. Just according to your left tackle, you're instituting new plays. You're putting new plays into the playbook. Your new wrinkles was the quote. Is that something you'd like to see your star wide receiver involved in, or you want to wait till July for that?
I'd like to see him involved.
I mean, look.
But by the way, we're not hanging anybody out to dry.
I just want the man to honor his contract and do what 52 other guys are doing, which is show up for these workouts. That's all I'm asking. 8-6-3 touchdowns last 3 years, Julio Jones. Drops, second, tied for the most, 7 in the NFL. Honor your contract, get to work.
Coming up, guys, we got Yeah Man, No Man. We're going to also be tomorrow at Top Golf. In Midtown, you want to play, you want to sign up. It's our 5th annual celebrity golf tournament. We're teaming up with Grady Jarrett, man. So many guys are going to be out there having a good time. We're going to be out there broadcasting, having a great time.
Julio is invited.
We want you guys to come hang out with us as well, all right? Go to the website, 929thegame.com.
Carl Dukes, I am laying this at your feet. Fair Ruffin for getting half of the city of Atlanta riled up. And more importantly, your best buddy, Mike, got his blood pressure all up.
For Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, you can get with that.
We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. And sometimes a surprise question is today's question number one.
Coming up at 5, the Falcon Report. More about what Jake Matthews had to say today. And more from Coach Quinn as well, as the Falcons did have a session today. Right now, though, it's Yeah Man, No Man with Bo filling in for AT. What you got?
Yeah, buddy, No Man. What you got, man?
All right, so everybody knows that to start the season, Gabe Kapler was maybe under a little bit of pressure because Philly fans didn't like the way he handled the first series, remember, against our Braves?
Yeah, he tried to go to a pitcher that wasn't ready in the bullpen. He did some really goofy stuff there.
So they didn't have such a good series against San Francisco over the weekend. And Jake Arrieta, who was brought in right before the start of the season, a lot of guys weren't signed this offseason as free agents. He signed late.
It's called collusion.
He had some allegedly, he has some things to say, but he actually did say these things. He said about the team, about their shifts. Of course, you see shifts a lot in Major League Baseball now. He said the worst in the league with shifts, the Phillies are. He also referred to the series as a horse blank series, and he said the Phillies need to have an accountability check. Gabe Kapler said he's okay with Jake's comments because they didn't play well and they can be better. So I ask you guys, are you guys okay with a player making those kind of comments after an outing about his team and throwing his teammates under the bus as well?
I think, Mike, both of us, we wish some of the guys in our city would do that every now and then. You don't need it every time out, but I do agree with Jake. And you need the veteran guys to be the voice. I mean, that shouldn't come from the manager. That's got to come from guys who hold each other accountable. So, yeah, man, I have no issues whatsoever with the comments. And, you know, the manager's backing him because he realizes that's where it's got to come from, inside of the clubhouse.
No, man, no problem with the comments, as long as he's already said these things to his guys, his teammates in that clubhouse, right, before he goes to the meeting.
Now, that's the thing.
And starts spouting off.
That's the thing.
There is a way of doing it before, then otherwise Jake will find himself on the trading block because no one will want to play with a guy.
And by the way, it was right after the game, so
he hadn't probably spoke to his teammates.
Yeah, I don't think he went
a little
over.
Hot then. All right.
Well, listen, I think there's nothing wrong again with the veteran guy saying we play like dog poop.
But as long as he's being a leader and he's challenging guys in that clubhouse, we'll see how this plays out. Philadelphia, multiple newspaper town, they will have some fun with this story.
You have to be accountable yourself, Mike. You can't be a guy to say that and then run. You know what I mean? You can't be a guy that doesn't show up.
Well, I hope it falls apart for him.
Me too.
Yeah.
So speaking of, I guess, well, it hasn't really fallen apart, but it could be soon based off some of the decisions. The Miss America pageant, you guys are familiar with that, right?
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, well, it's not a pageant anymore.
What do you mean?
We are no longer a pageant, Gretchen Carlson, the first former Miss America to be named chair of the board, said. We are a competition. So they are no longer going to judge contestants on physical appearance. There will be no longer a bathing suit and high heel little portion of it. They're now going to be judged and asked to demonstrate their passion, intelligence, and overall understanding of the job of Miss America, which apparently is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Do you think that the contest will survive this?
No. I don't want to sound like a pig. I don't want to sound like a pig.
Let me sound off. Sexism is my department.
All right, go ahead.
No, it is, you know, you can't appreciate beauty for beauty's sake. I mean, some things become anachronistic where maybe they outgrow, they outlive their usefulness. I mean, there used to be a point where, you know, beautiful women were you know, put on a pedestal. Now, at the expense of other women feeling some way about themselves, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I don't know. I mean, we've always lived in a world where the most beautiful people are, there's always a lecture for them out there. And the pageants, I don't know. I mean, do you want to hear a girl playing a violin and get her take on, you know, the day's issues?
No.
No, me either. I'm not watching that.
No, I mean, listen.
If I want to listen to NPR, I'll listen to NPR.
I think that all of the categories in which they allow these women to showcase their personality, all right, along with their beauty, is why these pageants have worked. Mm-hmm. When you take certain elements out of it, all right. Now, what is it, Bo? It's not a pageant anymore. What is it now?
No, it's not a pageant. It is a full-time job. But it's not a. Is let's see. Let's reread what the original quote was.
You just said it's not a pageant. It is now what?
Mm-hmm. Where did my thing go?
I mean, there are outlets for people like the Miss Fitness USA stuff. You know the competition bodybuilding things like that.
It's a competition. Yeah. Okay, but you're taking certain elements out of it, and I think the most important element. Let's be honest. If you're having these pageants and what these pageants were built on, and I know some people are going to say, "Well, things change," and they do, and I understand that. But these pageants were literally built on, as Mike's point, the beauty of these women. Right, showcasing the bodies and the beauty of these women. That's what it was built on.
It's 2018. You cannot appreciate. It's one thing if you're feeling you're objectifying women, but what if the women don't mind being objectified? They participate in these contests.
Well,
just like we talk about cheerleaders.
Yeah, but
instance.
Mike, if you're participating, then that means you're okay with what the contest is about.
Well, that was part of the statement, and we'll move on to this, that some people or women weren't competing because they didn't want to be on stage in a swimsuit.
Objectified.
Yeah, but I don't know why we can't appreciate it all.
Right.
Just to be frank, why can't the best overall win? Anyways.
So, I mean, now what? They're going hot pants?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, pantsuits for everyone.
Okay.
I don't know what they're going to do.
So, did you guys get a chance? Oh, I know Mike did, but Carl, did you get a chance to catch the hockey game last night?
Last night, yes. In and out of the hockey game, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Did not see the end of the game because when I tuned in, they were already up. The Caps were already up.
Right.
But
they were up big. They blew. They really exploded in the second and third.
But, yeah, watch games one and two, but caught a little bit of last night's match. What's up?
Well, there could be a new feud coming out of the broadcast last night, because at one point in the broadcast, I believe it was during the first intermission, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was up, and he is a part of NBC Sports now. He's mm-hmm. going to be doing the NASCAR. He's also done some Olympic stuff, and he was up on in their little part of their halftime or intermission broadcast, and one of Mike's favorite all-time personalities from ESPN decided to chime in. Keith Olbermann thought he would tweet this,
okay.
There is some kind of retired stock car or cab driver or something in the middle of NBC's Stanley Cup final show. It's not that NBC doesn't take hockey seriously. It's that it seems convinced it is necessary to make its hockey telecast about other sports. Gee, sound familiar? Now, ESPN has done a bunch of intertwining athletes and do other broadcasts. So do you guys think that Olbermann – and by the way, I'll continue. He also said it's not that CBS Sports has tried out Dale Earnhardt in the Stanley Cup and it started the first intermission. It's institutional tone deafness indicated by the belief there is an overlap between these two sports with utterly different demographics.
No, I mean, as much as I know, sometimes Olbermann gets on my nerves as a gas bag, Carl, there's no reason to have Dale Earnhardt on a hockey broadcast other than you're paying him money. NBC Sports, you're trying to cross-promote and pump life into this ridiculous NASCAR package NBC decided to buy, which they're going to regret because the ratings are going through the toilet. I agree with Olbermann. I mean, as much as it pains me to say, Carl, I would say, you know what? Yeah, man, Olbermann's right. There's what's the point of having – unless he's going to give us a symposium on riding a Zamboni.
Yeah, I do agree with him as well in this particular situation. And I think, you know, if you're doing this cross-promotion thing, well, let's have a relevant guy. I hate to say it, but we've talked about this. The name is still there. But he's not even driving anymore.
Right.
You know, let's have a guy that really, hey, I can tune into and watch and maybe cheer for. Right. I know he has his audience, and maybe I've offended some people already by saying that. But, yeah,
yes.
Olbermann's right. You don't need this on the broadcast. Yeah. And if you're going to do it, you got to come up with a creative way to incorporate guys. That, hey, you know what? Our next race. And these are guys you should be watching. Not a guy who's talking about it, and it's corny. I'm sorry.
And I love Junior, man, but look, he didn't win enough races. He didn't win a championship, and, you know, that's it. But ESPN, just like, I should say, Fox has got DW, you're going to have a steady diet of Junior jammed down your throat now with NBC Sports.
Yeah, and that contract is massive, by the way.
I'm with you. So, what else you got, man?
Well, we have 30 seconds.
Don't
so
make it fast. Go,
very
go, go.
Quick, the new Bumblebee movie is coming out. It is based off Transformers.
Okay.
It's Bumblebee from Transformers. It's got a basically a prequel, how it got here. Are you open for this? You going to go see it? It's also got the girl that was Maddie in True Grit.
Probably not. I'll
no,
be honest.
That's a negative. Is Michael Bay directing this?
Even with John Cena in it?
No, man. No, I got to be honest. I mean, the Transformer thing, I did it. I love the ride at Universal. It's a blank ride that you can get on and have fun down in Orlando. Besides that, I'm not in the Transformer thing anymore. I don't even know what the last one was.
Yeah. And apparently that franchise, I thought that franchise was going south too. So no interest
whatsoever. At all. Thanks, Bo. Yeah, man, no, man. Hey, coming up, the latest with Jake Matthews. Grady Jarrett also talking about Deidre Shenault. And Dan Quinn talking about Trufant praising Ridley. You'll hear it coming up on our Falcon Report.
But you know, when I look at these contestants for the Miss Black Awareness pageant, I feel good. Turn around, ladies, for me, please.
Apparently, these are the best women Queens has to offer. Pick one and let's go home.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.